Hi, I'm John London. Welcome back to Thinking It Through, a twice-monthly podcast where I'm trying to explore the personal connections that folks make with their history and geography while reflecting on who they are and who they hope to become. In these initial episodes, I speak with a number of people who live on the Big Island of Hawaii. Today's episode, episode number 2, All In, is my edit of a fantastic conversation I had with one of Hilo's most dynamic and young entrepreneurs, Molly Masaoka. Molly is the owner and sole proprietor of Hilo's yoga-centered studio and boutique, one of Hilo's longest established businesses. I became really intrigued with her business. It's thoughtful and comfortable. It's a good vibe, and it was inviting to become a part of, so I did so. Anyway, what makes Molly's story extraordinary for me and worthy of a listen, I believe, is how young and reflective she was when this Hawaiian life all began, and actually even before her Hawaiian life, as you'll discover. She's really self-assured, and she was more than happy to take on and cultivate a little sleepy yoga studio in Hilo in the early 2000s and become the sole proprietor. Now in her early 30s, Molly was kind enough to speak with me honestly about her life and business for about 90 minutes or so. We start our discussion sitting outside. You'll hear some traffic and some other conversations in the background. And then because of some of the noise issues, we moved into a stairway. There's a bit of an echo because of the stairways abandoned. And sitting there, kind of cross-legged, we finished up our discussion. You know, maybe you'd like to listen to this as you grab your mat and head out to yoga today. Hey Molly, thanks for talking to me today. This is Thinking It Through, and let's start by just kind of going through your life a little bit that has kind of gotten you to this point, to Yoga Center.
I was born in Iowa on a farm, actually. My family had a farm. Uh-huh. And then we relocated to New Jersey for a couple years as my father's family is there. And we ended up coming back to Iowa and moving to Iowa City, which is where I grew up until I was about 13. I mean, I remember being 4 years old, and I would find things around the house. We were very poor. I would find things around the house, like chairs, old chairs, and I would paint them and put doilies on them or glitter. And then we lived in this very rural place, and I would sit on the side of the road with this chair and try to sell it for $5. Every weekend, I wanted to do a lemonade stand. You know, I wanted to do a lemonade stand and make my own money. So it was something that was just innate. Nobody mentored me. Nobody told me this is what you need to do. Yeah, I just remember from a really young age being super motivated and determined with whatever I did. It didn't matter. I was going to be the best, and I was going to do it 100%. Uh-huh. And I really think that was just something innate. Uh-huh. I also always felt like I had a really strong sense of intuition. So as long as I was in tune with that, whatever I felt like I was doing, it felt like it was the right thing at that time. So I try to live that to today. So I left home when I was about 15. Uh-huh. I moved to California. My uh-huh. sister was in college there at Santa okay. Cruz at UCSC. And so I lived with her for a couple years in Santa Cruz. I went to high school, and within 24 hours of being there after living on my own, it was right. very apparent to me that I was not going to be able to ask to go to the bathroom. Right. I was paying my own $800 a month rent, working a full-time job at 15, 16. Right. I wasn't going to be able to do that. Sure. So I made alternate arrangements to be able to go to college at the same time and receive dual credit for high school. So by the time I was 16, I had graduated, and then I moved to Tahoe, fuzzy.
Yeah, sure.
About that time. And then I don't know how I found myself in Hawaii. I think I came on vacation. It was a gift from my mother for graduating high school. Mm-hmm. It was a round trip ticket. Mm-hmm. And I just never left.
When was this? 2000?
This is 2002. Okay. Yeah, 2002. Sure. Sure. Yep. Okay. And I was just super determined. And, you know, I lived on the beach, and I crashed in people's random places until uh-huh. I had enough money to get my own place. And then before I knew it, I started saving money, and I was able to buy a bike and buy a car and all these things. Mm-hmm. Met my ex-husband mm-hmm. on Maui. He's from over here. Mm-hmm. We moved here about 2004. What is that? 13 years ago? We moved. I was young. I mean, I was 18, 19 years I really wanted to finish college. And at the time, Maui didn't have like a UH program. Mm-hmm. So we either had to move to Oahu or to the Big Island. And my ex-husband was from here. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, let's move to the Big Island. So we moved to the Big Island. And, you know, to be perfectly honest.
Moved to Hilo?
Yes, because he's from here. This okay. is where he's from. Ah, he's okay. from Hawaiian Beaches. Born and raised. I hated it at first. I didn't get it. I was so confused. Where were the beaches? Where was I supposed to surf? I felt really isolated. I didn't feel a sense of community.
Right.
It was really hard. I went from making, you know, if you averaged out with tips, making 20, 25 bucks an hour at that time to $7 an hour.
When was that? What year?
That was 2004.
Okay.
So I started going back to yoga. I mean, mm-hmm. I had always practiced yoga
right.
since a young age.
Right.
But I was desperate for mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. I was desperate.
Right.
But I couldn't really afford it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I stumbled upon this yoga studio,
mm-hmm.
Yoga Centered.
Right.
I think that was, I want to say, 2005, probably.
Okay.
And one day, this woman, the owner at the time, her name was Corey Martinez, she asked me, oh, you know, would you be interested in doing trade, right? And I was like, oh my God, I just thought it was the greatest thing that could ever possibly happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like anything, I took it to the extreme. Like, it was a job to me.
Okay.
It was not just, I'm gonna show up and, you know, clean. It was like, I was always here on time, always doing, willing to do something extra. I'm determined,
right.
I'm 100% at
right.
everything I do.
Right.
If I get my mindset on something,
right.
come hell bet, what is it?
Hell or high water.
Hell or high water, I'm yeah. gonna get it.
That's right.
Even if it's to my detriment.
Right.
And all the
right.
signs are saying,
right.
turn back, Molly.
Right. Right.
No.
So we've got you living with your husband.
Yeah.
And
so I was here and I was working for trade, just cleaning the studio.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even about
physicality.
The exercise. It, you know, it was always about how I felt. After that shavasana,
yeah.
after that
yeah.
quiet space,
yeah.
everything just seemed to gain perspective, and all the things that had a hold on me in my own internal battles and in my life, just for a moment, not went away, but the bigger perspective was available to me, and to know
slow things down.
Yeah, and that in that moment I was okay,
mm-hmm.
and that so much of what we're doing is catastrophizing in our minds,
mm-hmm.
and that it's that's not true. Real. So I don't know if I had the insight of that at the time. The bottom line was, when I went to yoga, I felt good,
mm-hmm.
period.
Wow.
From the time I was 16 years old and I stumbled into that first yoga class, didn't matter where I was in the world, what the hell was going on in my life, how out of balance I was, if I went on that mat, I knew I was gonna be okay. Until the next time. Right? So I came back from Oahu feeling really lost, really confused. I also got engaged,
mm-hmm.
which I also had really mixed emotions about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was
big
making,
deal.
Making
a,
this decision.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, to
yeah.
commit my
yeah.
life to this person. And
yeah.
I was young, you know, I think I was maybe 22 or 23 at the time.
Sure.
Anyways,
yeah.
maybe 21. So I really just felt super lost. And Yoga Centered was like, when I felt, I don't even want to say the best, but just the most connected,
mm-hmm.
like the most reflective and inquisitive in what I was doing and why I was doing. It was
yeah.
everything. It was the energy. It was
yeah.
the space. It was the concepts. It was just the simple things that were
mm-hmm.
said
mm-hmm.
in the moment that would land at the perfect time. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
letting something go, taking a deep breath, just super simple stuff.
Right.
We didn't have to get too philosophical, which
right.
of course would all come later and is now much more a part of my life now than it was then. But it was just, it was a path with a purpose. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was my life's path,
mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I started cleaning at this studio, and within a very short period of time, the owner was like, well, you work here. So then I started working at the front desk. And then with a month of that, will you be the manager? And then all of a sudden I was the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that job so seriously. It was everything to me. I would do anything to make Yoga Centered
mm-hmm.
successful
mm-hmm.
and grow. And I was just so grateful to have that. Well, shortly after, the owner moved away, and I truly became the face of Yoga Center. And it was so interesting because...
You know, when this is, just to kind of get you in a timeline here, 2008, 2007?
I want to say Corey moved away in probably 2007.
Okay.
So she was trying to be an owner, from an absentee owner. That was tough.
Yeah, she was back on...
She was in Sacramento.
Okay.
And even though I was really motivated and excited, you know, I was young. I was 23, 20. I wasn't a yoga teacher at the time.
Wow.
I was pretty new to the practice.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty new to Hilo, but she trusted me, and I was doing it. And
you had no problems when she came up to you at one point and said, "I'm going to go back to California. Why don't you be the director or manager of this?" You had no.
Not if it's capabilities.
Even if there was, it didn't matter
because I was going to do it. God damn it.
That's awesome.
I was determined. It didn't matter. Yeah. I mean, I had no business experience. Yeah. I never studied business. Yeah. I knew nothing about financials.
Yeah.
I lived, you know, check to check.
Right.
But for some reason, I was always fine. I was always abundant in some kind of way, whether that was abundant with energy or money or time or space. Like, there was always an abundance in my life that then I was able to give, you know, and be present with. That happened, and then...
And it wasn't going that well, necessarily, the long-distance management of it. You said you were, she was struggling a little
bit. It was hard. It was hard.
You were making purchase decisions and things
I was making purchase decisions. You know, again, not being a yoga teacher, there was a little bit of a disconnection between that part and then me being there. At the time, there was a woman who you met this morning, actually, you saw her this morning, that was Lay.
Okay.
She was the one who was teaching most of the classes, and she was kind of in charge of the yoga side of things, and I was kind of in charge of the boutique and the admin and all that.
Sure.
Well, eventually, Lay moved away, and she moved to Oahu, and, and then I went to yoga teacher training in 2008.
In Costa Rica.
In Nosara.
So was that a month? Were you there for a month?
It was about a month.
Tell me a little bit about the training, Costa Rica.
Yeah, sure. There's life. I always separate my life now. Well, and there's other things now too. But one of the defining moments in my life is like life before yoga teacher training,
right,
and life after yoga teacher training.
Okay.
It was the most confronting, challenging, and wonderful experience of my whole life. The yoga teachers were great, and the students were nice, and the space was fine, and Costa Rica was awesome, and blah, 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 blah. Right. But it wasn't about that. It was about me and my inward experience and that willingness to go within and start looking at things.
In your mid-20s?
In my mid-20s.
Right.
I was 23.
Right.
You know, I'd always been like a really reflective person, and I'm not a normal person.
Right.
I mean, we're all special, of course. Yeah. It was like, from the time I could remember, I had to succeed. I had to have a life's purpose. Everything had to have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enthusiastic. I'm passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes too passionate. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. But I wanted to know what I was doing mattered.
You took it seriously.
I took it really seriously. I take everything I do seriously. I taught my first class, and
was that there?
That was there. So I taught my you know, my test, basically. I taught like a 90-minute class, and you know, I worked so hard at the perfect playlist and the perfect flow. And anybody who's actually taken yoga teacher training school will be able to appreciate this, you know, the obsessive over preparation that I can tend to have with wanting to be perfect.
Right.
I wanted to be perfect.
Right.
It's like this own, there's this woman inside of me that's holding this whip, you know, and she's just berating
a lot. Not good enough,
you know.
Enough.
And then there's that inner critic, which again can serve me, and then also can really be my
paralyzing
and my biggest obstacle, both in my life and my business. And I didn't go to yoga teacher training thinking I was going to be a yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I went because I was like, well, I mean, I want to go deeper into yoga.
Yeah.
I had no idea that this is what was going to happen. I knew I loved yoga, and I knew that I was working in a yoga school. So I came back very different, having had this really cathartic, life-changing experience.
Right.
It was a little bit hard to integrate back into life, you know, how these things go.
Sure.
and to hold on to some of those lessons and some of that insight.
And drop yourself back
in.
Your old frameworks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your old patterns. Came back, started teaching yoga right away. Again, I was received really well, and it just became so clear.
Did you have one class or two classes?
I had one or two classes. I was doing it for free. I was trying to pay Corey back because she had helped pay for my training.
Right.
Because I didn't have any money. I was a poor college student. And I did it for free. I worked in the park. I taught at the park at Coconut Island. I taught my friends.
I love Coconut Island. I do.
Yeah. I was just excited to do it, and it felt like I was so enthusiastic about it.
So that's 2008.
2008.
Something like that.
So then I taught for another year, more and more classes, working for Corey. The business hit a rough spot. What was that, 2008, 2009,
sure,
when everything went to shit?
Yeah, right.
Hit a really rough spot. And it wasn't just economically what was happening. It was also a disconnection between an absentee owner and now this yoga teacher / manager, the face of Yoga Center. Every time there was an issue, who was dealing with it? Me,
right.
Not Corey.
Right.
When there was a break-in or the alarm went off or,
right.
All these things that happened with business.
Right.
It was me.
Right.
I was the one dealing with it. For a very minimal salary, but anyways, that's a whole other story that I realized now. Good thing I had humility at that time in terms of money, but so Corey started thinking about, I can't do this anymore. The business is failing. I'm holding on to this thing and it's not working.
Right.
So I want to sell this. So I was like, oh my God, here's my opportunity,
Right. Or did you think, oh my God, don't take this away?
I thought that.
Yeah.
You know what? That's
it.
The truth.
It.
Yeah, it was more like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? So she comes to me and she says, I want to sell you Yoga Center. It's important
Sweet.
To me that it keeps going and you've done such a good job. And so here I am. I'm going to start going into this business thing. Well, she comes at me with a number that's just...
Yeah, and it's a money for that.
So far beyond what I could even
imagine
at the time. Not to say that she didn't deserve it, but it was just so far out of my reach. So I spent 1 year of my life, 2009 to 2010, working with, down at the SBDC, Constance Kate of the Small Business Development Center, coming up with a business plan, looking at cash flow statement, like diving in for the first time. I'd never done any of this shit. I didn't know anything about business.
Right.
It was always just on a wing and a prayer that I was
right.
running things.
Right.
But I'd always had that entrepreneurial spirit. So I always had this, entrepreneurial spirit.
Uh-huh.
And so a year went on, I'm trying to get a loan for an astronomical amount. The banks are laughing at me.
Right, you have nothing.
They're like, where's the value? Yeah. I don't see it. Again, I was 24 years old.
Right.
And I'm going to say it because I experienced it and I can say it. And I'm a woman.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Those old Japanese bankers at First Hawaiian and da-da-da, they don't take you seriously.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, it was a joke. Finally, American Savings Bank, Don Mende, worked with me and he gave me a loan for one-tenth of what I was asking. And Corey and I had been going back for a year, and I remember writing this email, and I said, I've got 30K. She'd asked 180. I got 30K.
Right.
That's what I can do. And I was terrified. I was like, oh my God, there's no way she can do this. Within 30 seconds of writing the email, she wrote back. She's like, it's done.
Awesome.
Holy shit. So, and that, and that was 10K of all of my money that I had managed to scrape together somehow.
Right.
But I did have a lot of debt with student loans and all that.
Right.
Plus the 20K from the bank. Okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm all in. I'm always all in. Always. Again, my greatest strength and my greatest weakness. Dive in head first every time. Don't even look and see if it's deep enough. So she took it, and within 1 month of acquiring the studio, I tripled the profits.
How'd you do that? Without getting into the weeds here.
Hard work.
Basically, how do you do that?
It was energy.
Right.
And to be present and to
right.
be enthusiastic.
Right.
And also fear.
Right.
It was not an option.
Right.
I had to succeed.
Right.
What was I going to do?
Right.
I'd never failed. I know
right.
that sounds really egotistical, but honest to God, John, I've never failed.
Right.
It hadn't happened.
Right.
I was not about to start.
Right.
So I did it, and I was like, okay. This is what I'm doing. It's freaking crystal clear. So put everything into Yoga Center, grew it, developed it, changed it, changed the whole look, changed some of the classes. You know, I became a better yoga teacher. I became a stronger yoga teacher. Opportunities started presenting themselves.
When you're working with so many different teachers, mm-hmm. you had to hire and retain.
Yep.
And if they didn't show up, were you doing the lesson? I mean, if people don't show, or were they showing up?
So I will say right now that the number one obstacle in running a business is that, everything you just said. Yes, employees and working with other people is really difficult, but one thing that I've always kind of prided myself on is my ability to co-create. I love co-creating and create something bigger. And so Yoga Center has always been an entity beyond me.
Right.
It's always been a co-creation of bringing people together.
With ideas.
With ideas and different skills
energies.
And energies and being able to allocate those resources in the right place and let people shine at what they excel at. On the flip side, I think another lesson that I've had to learn and has been a big obstacle for me is to always trust my intuition, because I do have a strong intuition, and to cut my losses.
In a place like Hilo, too, it's so transient. Isn't it relatively transient? Don't you have a lot of people kind of coming through and living here for a while?
Yes, I do. And again, a lesson that I now understand, I didn't understand, you know, 8 years ago, was to, again, recognize that and not put all my eggs into one basket.
Right.
So now someone would come in and apply for a job and they're a great yoga teacher. I kind of just take it for what it is at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's great, sure. Yeah. But I don't invest a lot into this person the way I used to.
Right.
8 years ago, it'd be like, okay, well, are you going to be here? Are you going to stay? Like, let's do this, da 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 da. And I would put so much energy into this other person. And then when it didn't work out for whatever reason that had nothing to do with me, God forbid, I didn't understand that.
Right.
Again, I'd be heartbroken and devastated.
Sure.
So that's been a huge growth for me.
Sure.
To look at things a little bit more objectively.
Right.
To take a little bit of a detached approach.
Right.
A healthy detachment.
Right.
Something I'm trying to cultivate in my life on every level.
That's about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yep.
And you're learning big lessons.
I am. Like. Well, I didn't know. No. Not at the time. Let's be honest.
You're spinning around.
I'm spinning.
Yeah,
I'm successful. Now I'm learning big lessons. but it was a fun time. It was a busy time. It was a single-pointed focus time.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of commitment and focus to Yoga Center. These days, I have 4 businesses.
How so? What are they?
Teacher trainings,
okay.
Which is a whole business within itself.
Right.
Retreats, which is a whole business within itself. The yoga studio
mm-hmm.
and the yoga classes and the management of the teachers and the classes and all that. And then the boutique.
Right.
I have 4 businesses, not one. So always constantly, and this is where I really need some help and some guidance and some mentorship, is
mm-hmm.
just to take an even more detached approach where you're looking at things strictly from a numbers perspective.
Right.
Because the numbers don't lie.
Right.
So from a business perspective, you know, from 2010 to 2013, things look good.
Yeah.
We're doing good. I'm doing it. I'm running the front. I'm teaching a bunch of classes. I don't even know if I had any employees back then. Maybe I had 1 or 2 people helping me out.
Okay.
At the front,
okay.
And then of course I had the teachers, of course.
Right.
But I'm pretty much doing everything on my own, working long hours. Yeah, so 2010 to 2013,
right.
we were okay, and then things really started to change in 2013.
Okay.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
So I had a baby,
mm-hmm.
and I also was going through the hardest time of my entire life in regards to my marriage.
Mm.
My ex-husband is an addict.
Mm.
And that was the height of his addiction from my pregnancy to my son about 2 years old. So to put it bluntly, my life was an absolute, complete and total shit show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the hardest time of my life. I had nothing could compare to those 2 years, 2013.
And having the baby and dealing with all of that, did you still have to deal with your business?
Yeah, I did. And mm-hmm. and I mean, at that time, I...
Were you bringing your baby to work?
I was bringing my baby to work a little bit. I hired somebody. She was helping me out. There was somebody running the front, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching less classes, but I went back to work within 2 weeks of having my son. I was back at the studio within 2 weeks. And the whole time, I mean, from the moment I gave birth, I mean, I was doing stuff from behind the scenes.
Sure.
So I never stopped. But really, my life was falling apart. Mm. I mean, it was such an interesting dichotomy, which I find my life is, and so many people's life is how you can have, like, the greatest and the worst experience of your entire life. Like, obviously, having my son, who is my greatest teacher mm-hmm. on every level, mm-hmm. Was the greatest thing that could happen, and it was also the worst time of my life.
Yeah.
My entire life was exploding.
I can't imagine. Did the marriage survive those 2 years, 3 years?
I mean, we were married until 2016. Okay. We got separated in 16, divorced in 17.
Okay.
But no, my husband was a full-blown
addict.
Okay. A functioning, right. Lying, compulsive, stealing, drug addict.
Did you have to deal with that with the business? Was he
yeah.
Into
there were some issues. There was some theft. There was some. You know, I mean, he was able to hold down his job and all of this stuff, but I was hemorrhaging money. I spent my entire savings on rehab trying to save him. That was my last straw. Spent $20K on rehab. It was everything I had to try to save him. And I was just going through so much. And then looking at, you know.
You're talking about yoga center and yoga being kind of really a helpful thing for you all.
Yeah.
What about friends and support?
I got a great network, great support system, great friends. So many of them are from Yoga Center. My whole life is based around Yoga Center. Like I told you earlier, there's no separation between business, life, yoga, and life.
That's cool.
It's just all one big hot mess. I was really grateful for Yoga Center and grateful for the opportunity to have to show up no matter what was going on.
Yeah.
So that was like a really big lesson too. It was like, I still had to teach and be my best self. And it wasn't a show. It wasn't me pretending to have all the answers. Some of those times produced some of the deepest teachings I ever offered, because it was like everything that I was going through was a lesson or an opportunity to grow and change and look at it from and take the yogic view. And so that was some of the best teaching that came out of me was during those years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was
a hard time, and the business suffered.
Yeah.
We started to go down. That's when the rent started going up. I wasn't there. Yeah, I was mostly just teaching. I mean, of course, I was still running the studio from behind the scenes, but I wasn't here that much. Plus, I was teaching a lot of trainings and all this kinds of stuff. We were in the red, and I was running out of money. And it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Had a change, and again, some employee issues. Had a change in management at the beginning of this year, kind of with this idea of like, okay, I'm going to hire a full-time manager. I'm really going to step back and I'm going to see if the studio can sustain itself. So I said that 2017 was a year of evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be in there.
Now, do you still love the business at this point? It sounds like, you know, you've been in it a lot.
Do you
want to succeed in getting it healthier? I mean, are you still intrigued with the puzzles that you need to solve in order to?
No, absolutely not. That I am not intrigued with.
Okay.
What I'm intrigued with, or I should say, is the connection with people and community and holding space for people.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine my life without Yoga Centered. And seeing Mary Vigier or Kathy Booth every day, like I can't imagine not seeing those people and holding space for people to go in within and to be accountable to in my own life to keep me on a path and then to be able to share that with others. I can't imagine not having created that space and continuing to hold that space.
Let's talk about Yoga Center today then.
Okay.
And tell me a little bit about where you are as a business today.
Okay.
What are some of the challenges that you see on the horizon or currently mired in? And where do you see it maybe in 5 years, or where do you see yourself maybe in 5 years?
Yeah. So Yoga Center today is, you know, it's an amazing place that I really truly feel is so important to maintain for the community, not just for me, but for the community. I never went into this business to make money. I had no idea what I was doing. It had nothing to do with money. It was like, this is the clear path of what I have to do, or else. It's like an artist who has to paint, or
it's not even a job.
Musician who has to sing. Right. Like, I have to teach yoga. I have to practice yoga. I have to be in this world. I have to meditate, you know, these kinds of things. And I feel to share that. So in that respect, it feels really good. And even when I'm not grateful, I'm still grateful for it and everything that it has brought me, both in my life financially and every part of my life. It is my life. And I feel hopeful for the first time in a good little while about the future. Like, I do feel re-inspired right now in this moment to keep going with Yoga Centered. And I think that with this, this big rent increase that just came up, this massive rent increase, I had to look at those things. It was like a really big opportunity. I mean, this just happened less than a week ago, to step back and be like, okay, what does the next 5 years look like? Because it's a 5-year lease, right?
Okay.
So, okay, what does this mean to reinvest in this business for the next 5 years? Mm-hmm. And the answer was, I want to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay.
I don't want to give up what I'm doing in terms of retreats and trainings, because that feeds me in different ways and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to keep Yoga Center going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where stepping back and looking at things a little bit more objectively and starting to make potentially some hard decisions, I feel equipped for the first time to make business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Hilo is only so big, and there is, I'm sure you've learned this expression so far. Well, it's Hilo. I mean, it's Hilo.
Yeah, right.
You know what that means?
No.
No? You haven't learned that yet?
I'm in Orford line of state.
Still, same thing though. I mean, it's like, it's the greatest place and it's also the worst place. It's like, we love it, and there's so many things, and we love it because it is quiet and slow and protected and people are behind and things are kind of cheap or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But then on the flip side, it's slow and things are kind of cheap, and so it's Hilo.
That's, you know, the other piece with this podcast is getting into space, is just the geography of the space, and then talking about the place a little bit. You're getting into that now. So talk about the place of Hilo.
Okay.
Talk Hilo and being a businesswoman, a single businesswoman in this place, meaning the cultural context of everything that is Hilo in your mind.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I've been here for so long that at this point I don't have much to compare it to, but I do consider myself a worldly citizen, and I do travel, and I do have friends in other places, so I try to keep a bigger perspective. Hilo is amazing because you can have this huge percentage of people under the poverty line who are living on welfare and, you know, just living a completely different life than someone on the other end who's coming to yoga, right? Who's got some expendable income and is retired and has time and space and energy and interest in the self. And I mean the big self,
right?
So that cross is amazing, right? But from a business perspective, it does make it challenging because your pool is limited.
Yeah, the numbers with disposable income to...
Yeah, the pool is limited. And when people have lived here for a long time, there is a certain culture that's developed around the value of things and paying for things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of trading that goes on, a lot of bartering, myself included. Oh my God, I have a million people that do trade for me and I do trade for them. So there's nothing wrong with that. But that does create a mindset of like, well, I don't want to pay for that, or that's so expensive. Or even if they have the money and it's no problem. I mean, I'm thinking of a couple people that I know will only come to community yoga. Well, I know are millionaires. I mean, I know for a fact they are millionaires. And they only will come to community yoga because it's $8. Even though they love my class, they're not going to pay for it. And that is a Hilo thing. It's a Hilo thing.
Right.
And it's hard for me. Right. It's frustrating because I'm like, I can't run this space on $8 yoga classes.
And that's got to be endemic to all small businesses here.
Yes.
All the shops that open up and shut down.
Absolutely. The thing is, it's all nepotism. It's all intermingled. Everybody knows everybody. I mean, that is Hilo,
yeah.
Which is great and awful.
But anyway, there's a significant amount of nepotism.
Oh, my God.
And then, if enemies are made, they don't really go away.
Nope. You burn a bridge, and you're gonna feel that burn.
You got water all around you.
Right. So there's this.
You can't move to the other side of the table.
No. And so there is this amazing opportunity to be accountable all the time and like reflective, and it's so interesting because no matter what you do, and I can say this from experience on many levels, everybody's gonna know about it. Everybody's gonna have an opinion about it. You know, there's gonna be information flying around that's not true. I mean, it's amazing to me sometimes the things that people tell me about me. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This would never go on in a city.
Right.
This would never go on in a city.
Right.
But it's Hilo. My last name is Masaoka.
Right.
If you lived here longer, you'd know what that meant. That means something. I'm a Masaoka. I walk into a dentist office and people are like, Masaoka? And they look at me and I'm this white girl, you know, and they're
right.
like,
right.
Oh, and they're confused. And right. So there's so much of that going on.
Absolutely.
You know? And I've dealt with that.
And you're comfortable, though, in your skin somewhat and living here?
I am. I am comfortable. It feels, it's home. It's always has been home. It always will be home. I will never live anywhere else.
So you're talking about in the short-term future here of holding on to Yoga Center, trying to get a handle on some of the revenue streams and the costs.
Yep.
And see if you can run it more efficiently and making some tough choices maybe with HR.
Yep.
What do you see 5 years out? Do you see yourself still at Yoga Center? You mentioned briefly you had some other ideas for
I do. I think that my ultimate dream, if I could have anything, would be for Yoga Center to run itself, for me to make a nice profit off of it, regardless if I was there or not.
Mm-hmm.
So getting the right person in the right
almost like
situation.
Passive income, right?
Basically, yes. Basically, turning Yoga Centered into a passive income situation completely. This is always, that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the big dream would be to have my own retreat center somewhere on the Hamakua Coast.
Awesome.
It's all conceptual. I mean, I would need a piece of land. I would need the right people involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be a groundskeeper. That's not something I have any interest in doing. So then again, have to be the right people involved in that. Where basically, I live there in my own house. I have a retreat center with yurts or a little village, and there's got to be ocean access.
Yeah.
So that you know, I want to have my own retreat center someday, but I don't want it to be stressful. It's got to be organic and right and good. So I'm not in a hurry to make that happen. And I mean, from a financial level, that's not going to happen. But then again, you know, I say that, and it's so funny to look at this now and say, I never thought that I would own Yoga Centered. That was such a crazy abstract concept. So for me to sit here and say I could never have my own multi-million dollar retreat center, why not? Of course I could.
Molly, I think you will. Thanks for chatting today, Molly. It's been so cool.
Yeah.
No, I think you will. I think it will happen. Yeah. Man, good things are coming.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for your time, and appreciate you spending some time with me, and hopefully I'll be able to re-up my lessons with
I hope so too.
Your center. And be able to get out of a chair in the morning. So.
Just keep doing yoga and you will.
Thanks, Molly.
Thank you.
I want to thank Molly for her time. She's busy and I'm not, so there's that. I hope that the current magma crisis in Pune and all of its attendant drama has been a manageable disruption to her life and her business. Again, if you have comments, please leave them where appropriate, and thanks for listening. Our next episode, I'll Meet You in Hawaii, will feature another young Hawaiian business couple who are determined to launch their own business soon. Mahalo and aloha.